He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened."
Morning. Well, it's good to be up here with you again. What a privilege, as it always is, to be entrusted with the preaching of God's word. a couple things just around some of the announcements, or maybe just one thing. The connection with Joel and Rachel, I think this is a really important one for us as a church family. When the Lord makes a way for somebody to come, it's not news to him or a surprise that they were going to be able to come but not be able to legally work. This wasn't a surprise to him, although it was a surprise to them, and maybe some of us as we walked with them in the process. But it's a real beautiful opportunity for us as a church to step up and say, okay, so what do we do about that? The Lord entrusted them to us right now. And this is actually a really beautiful relationship with Soul Edge that's been developing over a number of years, first between Bishop Todd and the leaders of the Herb family in Herbert. And we have Harry and Steph. Harry was on Soul Edge and many years ago, like 15, 20 years ago maybe. He's old now, so a few years back, Harry was here on Soul Edge and was part of the connection of them coming here. Amy, as she said, was part of Soul Edge and came here. Dan is sitting in right there, is brand new with us. You might not have even met Dan yet, and yet he came with Soul Edge as well. We have this really cool connection with this group of people that come from kind of all over the UK predominantly. And so when there's a lot of people with an accent in our church, you know where most of it's coming from. We can talk to Soul Edge about it. But what a beautiful opportunity to really get into their lives and walk with them and be the church community with them. So we're excited to have you and just to be here doing this together, guys. Okay, so we're going to jump in. Somehow, year after year, I get up here with all of this. Everyone used to make the joke that this was Stephen's deal, that he had to do this, but I just want to make mention, this is now 3 years in a row. They have stuck me up here with the stage. I love it because the week after is so exciting. If you have not been here during the week of kids running and screaming and laughing and jumping and causing chaos everywhere they go, but with Jesus at the center, you got to come take it in. It smells bad. It doesn't look very pretty. But man, is it beautiful. I think that it's something that has been a real encouragement to me. So although I have to try and incorporate a seahorse into my sermon today, we're really thankful for this. I'm really excited about it. Okay, so to the passage we have today, Matthew 13. Last week, if you were here with us, or if you watched the sermon online or listened online, you know that I took two passages of scripture, and this text is actually sunk right in between those two passages. So what happened was Jesus was giving them many parables, and then after all of those parables, they asked for a specific understanding around one they couldn't get. They weren't sure how to put their finger on, and that's what we talked about last week with the wheat and the weeds. And trying to understand that and what God's coming judgment in the kingdom looks like. Today, we are going to focus in on something that's maybe a little bit more understood, and it's something that we hear probably more of at very least. The first of these two parables is probably one of the most known or referenced parables in the sense that Jesus talks two different times about how something in the Christian life is relatable to a mustard seed. One of them is in this passage where he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. The other is where he talks about faith. Faith, like a mustard seed, can change anything. You only need this much. Well, Jesus is using this idea of the mustard seed for a reason. He's not actually pulling it out of thin air. He's not making it up on the spot. It's not something that nobody knows what he's talking about. In fact, the idea of using a mustard seed to describe something as small was a cultural thing. It wasn't a God thing. It wasn't a Jesus thing. It was a cultural thing. Even the Roman army, when someone was wounded, but it wasn't bad enough to be for fear of death or to pull them out, they would say, oh, it's only a mustard seed of blood. That's only a mustard seed of blood. Okay, so they can still go fight the battle. It was a common thing to try and describe the smallest amount of any measurement. And so Jesus is once again using something that the people around him will understand. He's using a phrase, a context, a culture to help describe and get people into the kingdom of God. He is consistently contextualizing the message of God for his people. I can't go on past that without bringing it up again. I did it last week. I'm going to do it to you again. We have to understand that the gospel cannot be compromised. It cannot be let go of. It cannot be changed. But it must also be spoken into a context in a way that people will understand. If we walk out into Lethbridge and start proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, most of the people downtown Lethbridge are going to go, that guy's crazy. I have no idea what he's talking about. And they'll stop listening. If you say to someone instead, the kingdom of heaven's a little bit like the wind in Lethbridge, they're going to go, huh, in what way? They might still think you're crazy. That's high likelihood of that. But they're at least going to listen. Why? Because the wind is something they understand. If you live in Lethbridge, you get wind. What about the sunshine? Supposedly, right, we're like the sunniest place in Canada, so I hear. I don't know. You're all looking at me blankly. Maybe I made that up. But we're going to say that's true for today. And that we're... Okay, thank you, Becca. I appreciate it. That's true. You go downtown Lethbridge and talk about how the kingdom of heaven or God is like the sun and how it shines upon our city. They're going to go, what are you talking about? It's actually an invitation in because the sun, the wind, it's something they understand. It engages them in a way that they could actually say yes to. It's not something they're going to have to try and jump through 15 hoops to get. It's simple. It's basic. It's known. So for us today, and I want to touch on this before we go further because I think it's really important for us because for some reason, somehow, I do it all the time, we make proclaiming the gospel out to be something really, really hard. Jesus doesn't do that. He makes it really, really simple. So simple that he uses consistent phrases, consistent understanding of the people he's talking to. He doesn't make them come into his understanding. He's God. His understanding is far beyond anyone he's talking to. He makes it so simple that anyone can grasp. So I'm going to ask you to do something. Before we go any further, if you have a pad of paper and a pen, or you take notes on your phone, whatever you do, take it out now. If you're not moving, I'm going to wait. Any way that you can take notes, I want you to write down 5 things that are really, really normal in your life. 5 things about Lethbridge, or about your workplace, or about your neighborhood that everyone would understand, that you could use a phrase. You could use a location, something that anyone would go, yeah, I know what he's talking about. I know what she's talking about. I know what that is. Maybe 5's a little much. I gave you 2, okay, the wind and the sunshine. Go with 3. Write them down. They don't have to be unbelievably smart things. Basic, normal. Okay, take those 5 things home with you. Are you writing it on your cup, John? That's the best thing. He's writing it on the outside of his coffee cup, paper coffee cup. That's amazing. Enjoyable for me. No one cares, and we're going to move on. But it's like contextualizing even in the way you take notes. I like it. Take those things home with you. Pray about them. What could someone say about the wind? The next time the wind comes up in Lethbridge, What could the Lord give you to say that would start you into a conversation about him and his kingdom? It doesn't have to be unbelievably intellectual. You're not looking to start a fight. You're looking to reveal, to give something of God, the gospel, the good news. Okay, now that we've done that, we're going to move back to the text. So as I said before, the use of the mustard seed is to express the smallness of something. That's not an unusual thing. As Jesus describes, the mustard seed, although very small in its beginnings, turns out to be a significant tree. There's many reports in historical texts of mustard trees that are 12 plus feet tall once they're fully grown. It's also very normal to see many birds in the branches or underneath of a mustard tree. And the reason for that is that it produces these little black seeds that are good to feast on. Birds come from all over the place to feast on this tree, and so it's often full of birds or has birds swarming it, waiting for an opportunity to feed. There's another way in which this would actually start to be normal, or it would be understood to the people that are listening to Jesus, which is that in Eastern cultures or in the Old Testament even, one of the most common pictures of a kingdom, any kingdom, was a tree. And often the depiction of a tree to represent the kingdom would have birds in the branches and underneath of the tree. The birds would then represent the nations that are coming and feeding on the kingdom, that are a part of it, that have found their home in it, that are being provided by the tree, for by the tree. So again, Jesus is using commonly used pictures in the culture to help describe the kingdom of heaven to his hearers. He's making sure that those listening to him don't think that he's using kingdom as a metaphor. The mustard seed is the metaphor. The kingdom is the reality. He wants them to realize that he's talking about a real kingdom that has shown up. Though it's small right now, it will grow. And he wants them to think about all the things that are present in a real kingdom. See, I think that when we hear these sorts of parables, we often believe that Jesus is trying to show the distinction between or the change from what a kingdom was in those days and what his kingdom is going to be like. And in certain ways, he does that. In certain ways, he plays the kingdom of heaven against the kingdom of the world. But here, in this time, in this moment, he's actually doing it in such a way that he wants them to think about a physical kingdom, a kingdom that's very well understood by them. He's not trying to change their opinion or their view of what a kingdom is. He's trying to evoke their memories. He's trying to evoke their understandings, their backgrounds, and their preconceived ideas of what a kingdom is. Though it's being initiated in the smallest of ways, this is a real kingdom that has come. Now, the second parable is again using culturally understood language, but this time it's about leaven that's been added to flour. There's two ways that the parable has usually been come to be understood. And we know for certain that Jesus is explaining to his hearers that his kingdom or the kingdom of heaven grows. But what has been in disagreement is how exactly that growth takes place. How are we supposed to see it or understand it? So the first view is this. It's that Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven grows unnoticed, like leaven in the flour. Since we can't see leaven working anymore, then we can notice the growth of a flower when we're staring at it with the naked eye. Jesus is telling us that through the power of the Spirit, through his authority, the kingdom is always growing, but it's growing in unseen ways. Now, if we hold to this understanding, it actually has some glorious truth for us to grab onto. It's telling us that we don't need to be worried or afraid of what comes against us. That whatever is overshadowing us or is working in opposition to us is really going to lose out because Jesus is playing the long game. He's always making sure that the kingdom is growing, that the kingdom is on the move. The kingdom actually can't be stopped whether we see it or not. Now, the other side, or the other way that people have come to understand this parable, is that they see it as the exact opposite. So though leaven can't be seen spreading through the flour, we do see what leaven does to the flour. It causes it to rise, to change. It begins morphing and bubbling and growing. It disturbs the flour. It doesn't leave it as it is. It makes change that you can see with your eye. Now, there's real merit in this understanding as well. Because when we think about what Jesus did while he was on the earth, he was always turning people's heads. He was always getting his finger into stuff and making it difficult for people to act like he wasn't there. He was leaving people speechless. He was wowing people in ways that they hadn't seen before. Jesus was really obvious about what he was doing. So it makes some sense to understand the kingdom in that way as well. Now, I actually don't think that those things are opposing. I think that both of those things can be true about what Jesus is saying about the leaven and the flour. I think that William Barclay, he's a scholar, put it best when he said it this way. The kingdom of heaven is forever working unseen. There's always something happening, even when nothing can be seen with the naked eye. But there are times in every life and in history when the work of the kingdom is so obvious and so manifestly powerful that all can see it. It's a both and. It's not one or the other. It's not, is the kingdom of God working underground where no one can see, versus is the kingdom of God changing things in ways that everyone can see. It's both. And we go through seasons where we feel way more like one than the other. If you're anything like me, the bubbling, growing, disturbing, that feels really fun. I love that time. Those are my like teenage, young adult years. That was like, yeah, let's get in and disturb stuff. Let's get into the darkness. Let's take it on. Let's win people for Christ. And it's happening. The Spirit is moving. There is manifest things happening amongst us. And then there's this other side, which feels very distant at times from that, which is that there's this constant moving. And day by day, we go through our lives, and we don't even really notice that it's happening, unless maybe we look back and go, oh, wow, oh, I think I've grown a lot. Well, that's changed. I'm a very different person. Oh, the Lord's done a lot. That would have never been true 5 years ago. And we have no idea how we got here. We have no idea how we've moved from one place to another because it was in unseen ways. It was in day-to-day stuff that can't be seen with the naked eye. These things, I think, work together. So with the mustard seed and the leaven, Jesus is trying to give us a picture of the kingdom that I think is a really beautiful thing. So I want to pull out what I believe are six takeaways, six things that we should be able to look at these parables and take home with us. Six things that I think have implications for our lives that we actually need to think about, that we actually need to process of how does this bear on my life day after day. The first one, Christ. Sorry, someone yelled, right? Did I imagine that? Okay. I just wanted to make sure that wasn't like in my head. It's like the scary thing. Oh no. Is it starting? Sorry. It's like right as I started talking to you, I'm like, oh shoot. Did I imagine that? I said it out loud, so I can't take it back either. Just for clarity, that's never happened. I'm not hearing voices. Just for clarity. Okay, number one, Christ is telling people that there is a new kingdom that's come to earth, the kingdom of heaven. That seems really simple, but we need to start there. Point number one, there is a new kingdom, a different kingdom that is not the same as the kingdom of this world that is present on the earth today. Number two, the kingdom of heaven can seem extremely small, causing it to be difficult to see how big it's going to become. Point number three, this kingdom is always working, always growing, always changing things, even when we don't see it. Point number four, the unseen work that happens in the kingdom will not stay hidden forever. It will change, morph, and grow anything and anyone that it's at work in. Five, the kingdom will grow to be of significant size with many nations that are a part of it because people will be attracted to it. People will want to be in it. And lastly, because this is a real kingdom, as the hearers of Jesus would understand it, then there's a king that will lead this kingdom. And he will lead the people that are a part of it in a new way of life that will grow and prosper both them and the kingdom, even against the strongest of enemies. So it's great to have good points. And I think that he wants us to understand all of these things through these parables. But we have to take a minute and just understand, so what does that mean for us then? So I want to go back through them. We're going to slow it down just a little bit, and we're going to take some time on a couple of these. I'm going to actually ask you to participate with me on a couple of these. Participate with the Lord. So the first one was Christ is telling people that there's a new kingdom that's come to earth, the kingdom of heaven. Are we a part of that kingdom? Have we said yes? Have we bowed the knee to the king? It's possible that all of us in this place have said yes already, and that's a beautiful thing, and we should rejoice over that, but we can't move on past that just in case. If there's anyone here that has not yet done that, that is waiting, has been unsure, come talk to me after the service. Come talk to Bishop Todd. Talk to the friend that you came with. Talk to one of the people on the sides that pray. Talk to Dave, who's leading worship. Come grab someone and say, I don't know, actually. Am I? How do I know? Point two and three, I'm going to kind of put them together. Point two is that the kingdom of heaven seems extremely small, causing it to be difficult to see how big it's going to become. And three is that it's always working, growing, and changing things, even when we can't see it. So how do we see the kingdom of God? When things are slow or unseen or we're not sure, how do we respond? How do we believe? Do we allow Jesus and his words to indicate what the kingdom of God really is? Or do we allow the world to come to bear on our understanding? So in our country today, where Christianity actually is on, it's getting forced out, guys, if we haven't noticed. There is a spiritual attack, but there's also physical things that are coming against Christianity in our day-to-day life. No longer can we claim that our country is a Christian country. We are post-Christian. Most of our people don't have a saving understanding of who Jesus is in this country. And many don't want one. And so are we going to see those circumstances in our culture and allow it to tell us that the kingdom of heaven is shrinking? Are we going to allow it to tell us that the kingdom of heaven is actually on the defense, is getting pulled back? Are people leaving churches? Are people saying no to God going to indicate what we believe about the kingdom of heaven? Or is Jesus going to indicate what we believe about heaven? Is the kingdom decided by the king, or is the kingdom decided by the enemies and by the people in the kingdom? Who gets to say? Because I think it's Jesus. And I think he's teaching us that he gets to tell us. He gets to explain the kingdom. And that we can't allow our culture or our understanding or the things that are going around in society around us to indicate what the kingdom is. All that this tells us, when we see what's going on out in the world, which we should be watching and paying attention to, all that it tells us is, are we going to be cultural influencers that have a stage for people to see, or are we going to be an underground rebellion that is bringing a kingdom to bear in a country that doesn't want it? I don't care which one it is. All I know is that he wins in the end. Amen? So which do we believe? Do we believe that the culture and society is actually winning? Or do we believe Jesus, that he's still on the move, he's still doing what he's always done, and he will not be stopped? Point four says that the unseen work that the kingdom is doing will not stay hidden forever. It will always change, morph, and grow anything and anyone that it's at work in. This is where I'm going to ask you guys to participate. Because if you have bent your knee to Jesus, you're here, you're in, you're part of this. Have you been born again by water and spirit, as Jesus says in John 3? Because then you're in. That's entrance into the kingdom, he says. So where is the kingdom in your life? Sometimes this is hard to see. So this is where we need to participate a little bit. We need to do this together. I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes just for a minute, okay? Don't let the cultural standards start to take over when we start praying and asking the Lord where the kingdom is present. Don't immediately go to, yeah, but not this. Let God speak and just ask a simple question. God, where is the kingdom of heaven at work in my life today? Whatever he's speaking to you, take the opportunity, write it down, take notes, whatever you need to do, because God wants to inform you of how he's present in your life. We can easily be distracted and forget. Write it down. God, where is the kingdom of heaven at work in our lives? The next step is to ask the community. This one's a little scarier. If you're, maybe it's not for you and you've already done this. But sometimes it's hard for us to hear God properly when we have all of our own feelings going on. And we need our community to speak into our lives. So I'm going to break my number one rule just for today. I never want to encourage people to use their cell phones for any reason, but I need you to for one reason right now. If you have a cell phone or a way of contacting someone, I want you to take it out. I want you to open iMessage or text app or whatever you use. Just for a second. I actually want you to do this. I just want you to write one question to one person. Pick someone that you know knows God and knows you. One person that knows God and knows you. Send them one text that says, "Where do you see the kingdom of heaven at work in my life? Where do you see the kingdom of heaven at work in my life?" Send and then turn your text, your phone off and put it away. There's going to be some of you receiving texts to answer to answer other people. We're not going to get into all that right now. But if God is trying to teach us that his kingdom is always working, is always moving, is always growing, then where is he at work like that in our lives? Last point. No, second last point, sorry. Number five. The kingdom will grow to be of significant size with many nations that will be part of it. People will be attracted to it. In the kingdom, if we use this analogy, you guys are like the seeds that attract the birds. He uses his people to be a point of, hey, look, I'm going to provide for you. Look, I'm going to make sure you're okay. If you come in here, you will be okay. I'll take care of you. So where are the people in your lives that are looking and seeing, man, I really need forgiveness like that person's got. Man, I really need hope like that person has. I really need joy like that person has. Where are the people in your lives looking at you and following you and saying, can I just watch to see what this kingdom's like? Here's the thing. Whenever I ask questions like this in any setting, most people are really scared that the answer is, oh, nobody does that with me. That's very unlikely. It's more common that we don't notice. There's people in your workplaces, maybe it's even the people grilling you, want to ask you a million questions. Yeah, but what about this? The reason they're doing it is because they see something in you that they're trying to figure out. They're trying to take part in. They're trying to step into. So who are those people? Who are the people that represent those birds coming to nest in the branches of the kingdom? Who has God given you? And the last point, because this is a real kingdom, as the hearers of Jesus would understand it, then there's a king who will lead the people of his kingdom into a new way of life that will grow and prosper them in the kingdom against the strongest of enemies. Jesus is a good, kind, gracious, loving king, but he is a king, and it is his way, it is his kingdom. And so we have to ask ourselves, have we bent our knee to him? Are we fully obedient to him? Is he actually leading us? Are we allowing the kingdom of the world to infiltrate our lives and tell us how to live? Or is Jesus telling us? Is Jesus leading us? Is Jesus that king for us? So you might find yourself in a few different spots out of this. It's a lot to take in, but I find every parable that I go through has a lot to take in. So you might, at the end of this, feel like, wow, I have a lot of things that I need to repent for. You might, at the end of this, have a whole bunch of hope that you didn't have at the beginning, and you might find yourself somewhere in between with a little of both. All of those are good. And the most wonderful answer to all of that is that we get to now come to his table. Because at his table, we come to him, where he is present, where he washes us clean, and he gives us everything that we need as we go out of this place. So no matter what it is that the Lord's brought up, no matter what it is that the Lord has been speaking to, together, let's bring it to his table and let him speak to it some more.
Amen. Bishop Todd.